So does it freak me out when Ed walks away like that? Yes, it does. Before I read the gospel this morning, I want to address the elephant in the empty tomb. And by that, I mean the empty tomb. This whole idea of resurrection. This idea, this belief that a body that's been dead for a couple of days can come back to life. How do we as modern people understand that and deal with it? I assume that some of you do. And the reason I want to talk about this real quick is I want to hopefully get us to a point that we can just hear the story for what it is and set that aside a little bit. I don't know if it's any comfort or not, but there are some really progressive, intelligent theologians who really have ways of trying to explain this. I listened to a podcast, and I kid you not, this guy has four possibilities of how this could happen, and I'm not going to go into any of them. How do I deal with it? I just say I have no idea. I do not know what that means. But if your doubts or your need for some kind of explanation hinders you somehow from letting this story work with you, I want to just ask you if you can acknowledge that at least for the people back then, that this story made sense. I don't know how, but the people back then had some kind of experience of Jesus being resurrected and alive. So at least I hope you're open to saying that this made sense to them. But I also would ask you to ask yourself the question, is there anything in the world that you can't explain that just seems completely mysterious? And is it possible that maybe God has something to do with that? Again, I just want to, if you're getting stuck on this whole resurrection thing, just want to open you up a little bit and just hear the story now from these people 2,000 years ago who experienced this in some way. So this is the telling of the resurrection from the Gospel of Luke. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find Jesus' body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" And then the women remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I want to start by going back and looking at the call to worship. I'm always a little bit nervous when I write something responsive and put words in your mouths. So in the call to worship, I asked, what are you looking for this morning? And what I told you to answer was some good news, a glimmer of hope, a reason to keep trusting God and following Jesus. Is that okay? Does that maybe hit some of the reasons that you're here, what you're looking for? I'm taking that as a resounding yes. Thank you. Then I asked, are you ready for God to surprise you, to be open to new possibilities, and ready to take some risks? And I had you answer, and I think this is pretty accurate, do we have to? And then I said, I'm pretty sure we do, and had you say, okay, where do we start? And then I said, let's start again with Alleluia, Christ is risen. And you responded with the Alleluia, Christ is risen indeed. That really is the sermon in the nutshell. I could stop here, but none of us want that, do we? No. If we are looking for some good news, a glimmer of hope, a reason to continue trusting in God and following Jesus, I think probably the best place to start is with the resurrection. Now, when I talk about resurrection the rest of this morning, please understand I'm talking about something more than just Jesus being resurrected 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about resurrection in its broadest form, by which I mean any time that God is at work changing death into life. Because really, that's what the entire biblical story is about. The Exodus, Jesus brings these dead slaves to new life in the promised land. It just goes on and on and on. That's what Jesus' ministry is all about. Jesus goes to a bunch of lepers who are dead in their illness, and he brings them to new life. Jesus goes to people who are hungry, and he feeds them, and he brings them to new life. Resurrection, in its broadest form, is what Christianity is all about. It's supposed to be what the church is all about. It's supposed to be, and it's at its best when that's what you and I are all about. Changing death into new life. But we need to acknowledge kind of a difficult, painful reality. And that is, sometimes we prefer death over new life. Now, don't get too literal on me here. Again, by death here, I mean anything that, you know, comes to an end. End of a relationship, losing a job, maybe retiring from a career, dropping out of school. All those little deaths that we encounter throughout our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we like those things, but I do think we have learned pretty well how to deal with them, how to accept them, maybe even to expect them. I'm not saying these things are easy or that we choose them, but I think we have an idea. We've learned how to deal with them. And so they seem kind of familiar. And I think this is especially true at this point in history, right? We've just gone through, or we're still in, this global pandemic. Over 500,000 Americans have died in the last year. Most of us aren't shocked by that anymore. Hundreds of people, thousands of people have lost jobs, and we're not that shocked by it anymore. We've gotten used to it. We've somehow figured out how to keep on going in the midst of death and defeat and loss. It's not just us, though. This is, I think, kind of the human condition. Let me give you a real concrete example from this reading this morning. Remember the line that after the women come and tell the rest of the disciples about their little encounter at the empty tomb? It says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." You know, part of me wonders if the reason they didn't believe them is because they didn't want to believe them. I mean, just think about it. What would it mean if what these women said was true? That Jesus was really alive? I guarantee that idea was probably more frightening than living with the pain of Jesus being dead. See, if Jesus was dead, they had to mourn his loss, of course, but ultimately they just had to go back to their old lives. Just kind of pick up where they left off. Just kind of accept that death, that loss, and just kind of go on. And of course they'd have great stories to tell their grandchildren. "Oh yeah, when I was young, I hung out with this hippie guy named Jesus. He did all kinds of cool things." "What happened to him, Grandma?" "Well, they killed him. And that was that." It's sad, but it's simple, isn't it? But what if what those women said were true? What if Jesus really had risen? What does that mean for these disciples who had followed him? What are they supposed to do now? Well, it's pretty obvious. They have no idea. Right? These guys are clueless. They remain locked behind doors after they've heard the news. And I'm pretty sure they were not anxious to find out what came next. Because if Jesus was alive, if God had taken death and changed it into life, that meant that the future was completely open and up in the air. These guys had no idea what was going to happen next. It was much safer for them if Jesus just remained dead. So what about us? Do you remember what the two men or angels, whatever they are, asked the women at the tomb? It's a great line. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I fear if the angels were to come and ask us a question, it would be more like this. "Why have you stopped looking for the living among the dead?" Again, I think this is particularly true after this, or in the midst, toward the end of this global pandemic, when again death and defeat and loss has become so commonplace that we're not really fazed anymore. See, I fear we've become a little too comfortable with death and defeat and loss. We don't like it, but we figured out how to do it. Sometimes I wonder if we are so far removed from the idea that death can be changed into new life, that like the disciples back then, it's a frightening notion to us. Maybe we too are more comfortable with a dead Jesus than a alive Jesus. If he's a dead Jesus, all we have to do is get together and remember him and maybe try to be like him, but you know, what are you gonna do? He died, we're all gonna die. It's not very cheerful, but it's easy. But what if Jesus really did rise from the dead somehow, in some way, 2,000 years ago? And what if that means that somehow Jesus is still alive today? Then what do we do? What if this means that God really can change death and defeat into loss into new life? You see, if Jesus is alive, and if God can change death into new life, that means that our future and the future of the world is wide open and up in the air. If God can do that, the possibilities are endless. Death and defeat and loss do not have to have the final word, because God can change those. And take it one step further. What if God changing death into life is not only something that happens around us, but actually through us and in us? What if us being baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection means that this new life is not just something we witness, but it is something that we participate in, that we get caught up in? What would change in your life if you really risked believing and trusting that God is at work around us and in us and through us, bringing, changing death into life? What in your life is dead that needs new life that you've given up on? What in our community is dead that needs new life that you've just decided is beyond your control and anyone's control? What in the world has died and needs to come back to life that we all just assume is a done deal? What if those things in your life, those things in our community, those things in the world are not determined, but are opened to God's ever-changing future? What if life really is more powerful than death? What if love is more powerful than hate? At the end of our gospel reading, there's that weird thing where one of the disciples, after hearing this story that sounded like an idle tale, for some reason, curiosity, intrigue, simply being freaked out, decided to go check. It says, Peter got up and he ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, And then he went home amazed at what had happened. What does that mean? What does that mean he went home amazed at what had happened? I have no idea what that means. All I know for sure in that little snippet of a story is that at least Peter was open enough to the idea that maybe God had done something so unexpected that it was worth a little jog to see for himself. That little jog to the empty tomb is in itself a sign of hope and a sign of faith. A sign of hope. Peter was at least willing to entertain the crazy idea that God would not let Jesus and everything that Jesus stood for lie dead in a grave and let the Roman imperial system win. And because Peter got up and ran to the tomb, entertained that possibility, his life was changed forever. And this world was changed forever. It's because this early group of disciples radically had their life changed that you and I are here this morning. So what if you and I just entertain this idea that God is not done bringing life out of death? Are you willing to risk having your life changed? Are you willing to risk having God change this world through our changed lives? Amen.